Bibles up with me. Let's go over to 2 Timothy, if you would. 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. We're going to go ahead and read verse 14. It says, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and has been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." Now, Paul's wanting Timothy, now Timothy's a young pastor, but he's trying to get across to him that he needs to hold fast to what he's heard and knowing who he heard it from. You see, we're going to talk today about what you hear matters. Because here Timothy is hearing from Paul once again. Paul, of course, his pastor, but also his father figure in the faith. And he keeps writing Timothy to encourage Timothy. But he gets down there then, and notice that he says in verse 16 that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. All Scripture is given. Everybody say that. Just say all Scripture. All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. See, here's the thing. It goes on. Notice this. He goes on and he says, "And it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instructions in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect or mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." What I want you to understand is this. Scripture is for more than just getting you saved. Now, I understand that's you got to, you know, you're saved by hearing the word, right? Come on, you're not saved by a feeling. You hear the Word of God, you believe the Word of God concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, His death, burial, and resurrection. You confess the Lord Jesus with your mouth, believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, and you'll be saved. Right? That's what Scripture says. It's not based on a feeling. A lot of folks will, you know, well, here's what I felt and I did. No, you got to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, His death, burial, and resurrection. That's what Scripture says. And so Scripture is for more than just being saved. Thank God we have the Scriptures to get us saved, but thank God we also have the Scriptures for the rest of that. Notice that. See, we don't want to hear the rest of this because now it puts us in a place because we have to get into the Word of God to find out that it's profitable for doctrine. In other words, it's something we can preach. All Scripture can be preached. Right? It needs to be preached according to the inspiration of God, how God leads you. It's for reproof. What about that? We don't like the reproof part. Come on, we don't like it. For correction, oh my. I don't want the Word to correct me. I want to do what I want to do. But no, the Word, Scripture, is for correction, to keep you on the right path. You can't just live any way you want to live. And he goes on and says, for instruction in righteousness. What about that? I'm made righteous through the blood of Jesus Christ, but the Scripture is instructions how I get my righteousness. How do I get my righteousness? Well, He was made to be sin, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. We're made righteous through the Lord Jesus Christ. But notice here, instruction in righteousness. What's that mean? How to keep on living right. Come on, how to keep on living like God wants us to live. Listen, church, He did not save us to get out and act like a bunch of hooligans. Act like the world. Come on. He saved us so that we could be the church. He, at one point, Paul told Timothy, he said, be an example of the believers. Be an example. You see, and so God is telling us here, we need these Scriptures so that we can know how to live here on this earth. Now, one of these days we're going to go to heaven, and it won't matter then. But until we get to heaven, we need to know how to live here on earth. And Scripture is profitable for that. Amen. We have the Scriptures to tell us how to live here on earth more than just getting saved. more than just thank God for salvation. But if you look at the word salvation, you'll find out in the Greek it means, you know, to be saved. But it also means wholeness, wellness, peace. Prosperity is even in there. Things that a lot of folks don't like, but it's there. Well, we like them, but we have a false humility about it. It just got real quiet. Come on, you start talking about money in church and folks just get, they just puff up and get mad, and then they go out and work 80 hours to try to get money. Well, what the folks is, well, the problem is folks like to get the hold of the money, but they don't like to give money. I'm not going to get on. I'm just trying to tell us that it's in the Scripture. We just said it. Give and it shall be given to you. That's absolutely instruction. Give. So when we look at this, we understand that Paul's telling Timothy, he said, now all Scripture's there. Scripture is there and is profitable for doctrine. But here's the thing, folks. We can't just pick and choose what we like about the Scriptures and skip over the ones we don't like or agree with. Amen. See, we like to try to do that, but here's the thing. If any Scripture is wrong, then how can we trust any of the other? This is the infallible Word of God. It's all true. Amen. It's all true. So we have to be careful, because what happens to us sometimes is we get trained up a certain way or brought up a certain way, and because of that, we have wrong interpretations of Scripture, and that's where the problem comes in a lot. But you see, we're living in times now. There's an archbishop right now, and you know, how many knows an archbishop is big in I guess, the Catholic Church. And he's trying his best to get something changed in the Bible because he thinks it's problematic. And what he's trying to get changed in the Bible is in the Lord's Prayer. And what he's trying to get changed in the Lord's Prayer are the words, Our Father, who art in heaven. Our Father is problematic. Now this is a guy that's supposed to be serving our Father, hearing from our Father. And he's worried that it's problematic because the Bible says, Our Father. He wants to change the Bible because somebody might not have had a good childhood with their father and it bothers them. See, you have to stay with Scripture. If you go with people's emotions and what they think and their opinion of things, you're going to get out of line. That's why so many things that are going on. You know, Hillary Clinton said a long time ago that Christians were going to have to change the way they think. Now, I'm not changing anything. I'm going to stay with the Word of God. I don't care who says I need to change. You know, there's a lot of folks got that same opinion. But I'm just trying to show you that we can't just pick and choose in Scripture what we like, what we don't like, what we agree with, what we don't agree with. It's all there. And I just showed you where Paul told Timothy, it's all there. It's all profitable. But we have to learn how to use it in the right way. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, if you want to jump over there with me. We was there in 3. Just back up in 2. And look here what Paul tells Timothy here in verse 15. He says, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And their word will eat as doth the canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Now, he's once again giving some correction here to Timothy, helping Timothy some. But now let me show you something. He says, study to show yourself approved unto God. Notice it didn't say, he didn't tell Timothy, study to show yourself approved unto the people. You see that? See, because you've got to understand this. The Word of God is backed by God. And what he says he meant, what he meant he said. And so when we're preaching the gospel, when we're preaching the word, God backs up, confirms the word. But he doesn't confirm what pleases people. Amen. So he's telling them, he says, you study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not just to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. See, a lot of times we don't like the rightly dividing, because what that does is that starts now to cut in on us. We like to just hear something and take it just for what it was said as, without really examining what did the Scripture really say. Amen. There's a lot of things that are preached from the pulpits that are really just old wives' fables. It's not really Scripture, but it's been taught so long, people have accepted it as Scripture, and we've become in some instances a lot like the Pharisees was. Jesus said that they had changed the Word of God with their traditions, and they made it of none effect. See, so we got to be careful. You know, a lot of times you will interpret things in the sphere of where you've learned, or in other words, you've been raised. You know, I was raised over on Mine Fork, right here in Magoffin County. And, you know, I'll never forget when Jerry Gullett and I first got together many years ago. I had a saying, and I'd say a lot of times, man, I'm tore up like a tomato can. He looked at me, Pastor, what does that mean? Well, I hadn't thought about the fact that nobody else knew it, but Mine Fork folk knew what it was. Because we'd put M80s in tomato cans and blow those things all to pieces. That was tore up. I'm going to tell you, once we got through it, it's tore up. So that was kind of just a saying, but it was, you know, I was just in a conference, the IMO conference, just last month, and sitting talking with a guy from Missouri. And we're talking, and I said something. He said, now explain to me what that means. Well, I knew what I meant, but see, it was different lingo. I went to Wyoming one time, mule deer hunting, and was there, and we got together with some of the agriculture teachers there, and they were going to take us out to the properties and show us around. And I said, do the mule deer, do they kind of stay on top of the hills, or do they get down in the hollers? That's right. I said, holler? I said, yeah, hollers, you know. Down. He said, you mean a draw? He said, if I want to get your attention, I'll holler at you. You're talking about a draw. I said, no, if I want a picture, I'll draw it. I'm talking about a holler. You know. Hey, different cultures called it different things. It was the same thing. We just called it something different. And it's because of where we were raised, where we were influenced from. And if we're not careful, we can look at the Bible and we can hear things from the Word of God, and because of where we were raised or where we've come from, a lot of times we'll interpret it differently than somebody else does. Amen. I've told y'all how, you know, the organization I came out of, I interpreted everything from basically just salvation's prospect, because salvation is all we ever taught or preached. We never really got into the gifts of the Spirit. We never got into the fact that God wants you healed, that God wants you blessed, wants you to have an abundant life, because that just wasn't taught, and so therefore I didn't know it. Amen. And so when I started seeing it in the Word of God, I had to do something with it. I had to rightly divide it. Come on, rightly divide it means something. You know, prosperity is a doctrine in the Bible, but you have to rightly divide it. It has been prostituted to the point that people just throw it out. I don't want to be talking about money. No, God wants you to have money so that you can give and be a blessing in the kingdom of God. You can't be a blessing if you don't have nothing to bless with. But you see, the problem is our mentality around here has been a poverty mentality a lot of times. And what you hear from folks a lot of times, oh, we can't do that. Oh, we're Eastern Kentucky. We're hillbillies. We just poor folk. Well, you know what? We have been. But I'm telling you, some of the greatest artists, some of the greatest singers, for some of the greatest peoples come from Eastern Kentucky. You can't use that as a crutch anymore. God wants every one of His people blessed, even the hillbillies. Come on. Right? So we got to understand. Even though we may see things a little different, when it comes to Scriptures, we've got to get a hold of them. We've got to get them rightly divided so that we can be a blessing and we can help and we can understand and it'll help us. So he says, you know, you've got to really rightly divide that. Now, let me just kind of say this too. You have to use the Bible to rightly divide the Bible. You have to use Scripture to interpret Scripture. And I'm saying that because a lot of times, a lot of folks, they'll read something they don't understand. Nothing wrong. I thank God for men and women that are smarter than me that I can learn something from. Thank God for that. There's plenty of them out there. But here's the thing. I'm not going to take their word over the word of God. Not their word over Scripture. So when I'm interpreting something, and I'm going to look at it, and if the Bible says something, then I'm going to start searching the Bible to see what all it has to say about that subject, rather than to try to grab somebody's book and explain it away because it don't agree with my doctrine. See, we like to do that. A lot of folk get on the internet. Because if they don't agree with something, they're going to find somebody that'll get in, you know, I'm going to check this up. I promise you, I don't care what your doctrine is. I don't care what you believe, what you think. You can get on the internet and find other people that just think just exactly like you do. I'm not telling you to be right, but you'll find somebody to get in agreement with you. But it might not line up with the Scriptures. And so that's why we got to rightly divide. We got to look at the Word of God and interpret the Word of God through the Word of God. The Bible says, you know, let everything be established in the mouth of two or three witnesses. Well, you get your Scriptures and let it all correlate together, and then you'll get the whole picture. Amen. See, and a lot of folks don't want to do that. You can look in the Word. I just mentioned prosperity because it just gets under everybody's skin. But you can start looking from the Old Testament all the way through the New Testament, and you'll find out God wants His people blessed. Amen. The blessing of the Lord maketh rich, and He addeth no sorrow to Him. When He's describing Eden to Adam, He starts talking about the rivers. But then He starts talking about the gold, the silver, the precious jewels, and all that in there. God likes good things. I mean, look at the instructions, folks, for the tabernacle. A tent with golden sockets. A temple with things overlaid in gold. When Isaiah saw him in Isaiah chapter 6, he said, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple. Well, you're God's kids. Come on. The things God has belongs to you. Unless you've been taught that you're not supposed to have them. And that'd be a pretty fair assessment of a lot of folks, but that'd sure be an unjust God, wouldn't it? See, the Bible teaches us that Jesus came in John 10:10 that you might have life and have it more abundant. Live it to the full. Live it till it overflows. How many knows abundant life includes prosperity, health, well-being, right? And so when we start looking at these things, I want us to understand that what we hear matters because we hear all kinds of stuff. I mean, I was brought up, you know, again, hearing stuff that, you know, like that, you know, God didn't want you money. Got real quiet, real. I'll tell you one thing, God don't want your money, don't need your money. Where's that in Scripture? Well, you know, the Bible says, you know, that it's harder for a rich man to go through the eye of a needle. I mean, better for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich man to go to heaven. See, you've got to study Scripture. You've got to study some things. The eye of the needle was a hole in the wall around Jerusalem. A camel couldn't get through that hole. It was made for night entrance into Jerusalem. So when a camel came in and it was loaded down, it had to be stripped of everything so that it could get through that small place. And then they'd bring the stuff in and put it back on the camel. Jesus was given a local reference on something there, and people took it way, way out. By the way, don't think there was any metal needles back during Jesus' time. Come on, think about it now. Everybody thinks of that little needle, right? Isn't that what you thought when I said, "I have a needle"? Right? You think of that? No. Wasn't around at the time. He was talking about that entrance. And his reference was this. That rich person has got to lay down everything and surrender it all off from him if he wants to enter in. He can't hold on to his money. He can't hold on to all that he's got. He's got to strip himself down and come with all of his heart. But you see, you don't hear that preached because we're more against prosperity than we are telling the truth a lot of times. And how we interpret the Scripture has got everything to do with studying to know and show yourself approved unto God so that you do know the truth when you hear things like that. Because people just like to spit it out there. You know, they've been telling tales about me for 25 years now. You know, them people, they just take their money up there, you know. And before the first Cadillac I got, you know, bought it used, made payments on it, you know, and folks are driving. That's where all their money goes to. They buy him them big Cadillacs. No, I went through the finance company to get mine just like you did. I just chose to buy a used Cadillac rather than one of your new Tahoes. What? Right? It was folks driving a whole lot more expensive vehicles than I was, but nobody said nothing about them. But see, they didn't like me and still don't a lot. You know, because I teach stuff like I'm teaching. I teach the truth, all the Scriptures. I know God wants us blessed, and so I expect to walk in that blessing. The Scripture tells me we should expect to be blessed. Once I got saved, I didn't need to hear the word of salvation anymore. I needed to hear the other things God had for me. I'm born again, child of God. The Bible tells me so. Not because I feel it, but the Bible tells me. But the Bible also tells me, brethren, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. Does your old Bible say that? Is all Scripture profitable for doctrine? So you can't throw that out, no matter how much you hate it. Right. My Bible still says, whosoever will say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but believe the things he saith will come to pass, he'll have whatsoever he saith. Right? The Bible says that. You can't throw that out whether you like it or not. Well, what's the deal with that? The deal with it, we don't believe it. The reason we have a problem with it is because we're over in doubt, and he says, we need to get into faith about this. Matter of fact, the first thing he says before he says that is have faith in God. You see, but we've got to get to understand that the Scriptures are true and God can't lie. And so if he said it, then sometimes we might ought to just look in the mirror and say, do I really believe everything the Bible says? Amen. There's nothing wrong with you doing a self-diagnostic every now and then on yourself. Sometimes we just need to look and see, you know, are we really believing what the Word says? Because, you know, you get into, notice there in that Scripture, and I'll move on here, you know, he's talking about Hymenaeus and Philetus, you know, the things they had been saying was overthrowing the faith some, because what can happen to you is you can believe something, and then somebody else, if you don't know the Scriptures to back up what you believe, somebody else can say something, and all of a sudden now you're second guessing yourself. Amen. Are you really saved? Does God really heal? See, those questions are demonic because the Word says that by His stripes you were healed. But if you go back to the garden, you'll hear a little voice that says, did God say you'll die? Well, you'll not surely die. You see, casting that doubt on Adam and Eve and caused them to mess up. He's still casting doubt today. He used people to cast doubt. And then sometimes it's not because the people are mean, it's just because they don't know either. And so that's why it's so important for you to rightly divide, know what the Word of God says, and not pay attention to what other people say. Stay with the Word. Stay with the Word. God will bless you if you stay with the Word. Amen. He'll do what He said. Now look over here in Psalm 119, because we're talking about the Word. Psalm 119, verse 9. It says, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereunto unto thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. O, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord. Teach me thy statutes. My lips have I declared all the with my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth." Notice that, of thy mouth. Let me give that to you in a couple other translations. In the Amplified, it says, "How shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed and keeping watch on himself, according to your word, conforming his life to it. With my whole heart have I sought you, inquiring for of you and yearning for you. Oh, let me not wander or step aside, either in ignorance or willfully, from your commandments. Your word have I laid up in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips have I declared and recounted all the ordinances of your mouth." Notice in both translations, they make sure that they say, my lips are saying what your lips says. My words are what your word says. Let me give that to you in the Message. It says, "How can a young person live a clean life? By carefully reading the map of your word. I'm single-minded in pursuit of you. Don't let me miss the road signs you've posted. I've banked your promises in the vault of my heart, so I won't send myself bankrupt. Be blessed, God. Train me in your ways of wise living. I'll transfer to my lips all the counsel that comes from your mouth." Isn't that good? "I'll transfer to my lips all the counsels that comes from your mouth." See, we ought not be speaking anything other than what God says. We're all the time doing it, but we ought not. We're saying we can't, this and, you know. But the Bible says, "I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me." Right? We're all the time saying, that's not possible. And the Bible says that all things are possible to them that believe. I'm just telling you what Scripture says. I know this is going sideways with a lot of folk. But you have to, is the Word true or are you true? Well, the Bible says, let God be true and let every man be a liar. God's Word is true and it's forever settled in heaven. And He hastens to perform His Word. He doesn't hasten to perform our opinions, hasten to perform our will or our wish. He hastens to perform His Word. That's why it's so important that we watch what we hear. It matters what you hear. Experience, expertise, and even common sense, they're all good things, but they have to take second place to the Word of God. They really do. If you go over with me to Luke, we'll go to this. It'll be our last scripture we'll turn to. Luke chapter 5. "Came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the Word of God, he stood by the lake Gennesaret. Saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said to Simon, 'Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught.' And Simon answered and said to him, 'Master, we've toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net.' And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink." Notice now we've got two ships about to sink full of fish. Now, the reason I wanted to bring this to you, I said expertise, experience and common sense were good, but it doesn't override the Word of God. Notice here that Peter is fishing. Now, Peter fishes for a living, so he's an experienced fisherman. Right? You could have called him an expert fisherman. You know, today they call the fishermen that fish, they call them pros. Peter wouldn't be considered a pro. The only difference was that was how he lived to eat, but he also for the money that he could get from the fish after he sold them. So Peter's got expertise. He's experienced. And even common sense told him, because he says it to Jesus, he says, "Lord, we toiled all night." That's the common sense come in. It's just common sense that if you fished all night long in that place, throwing your net back out is probably just a waste of time. Right? Come on. You know, I've fished a little around. I know what there's those times when you can catch fish and those times when you can't. And you can stay there from daylight to dark on the times when you can't catch fish and it won't make a bit of difference. But you can be there at a time when you can catch fish and you don't have to stay long at all. You'll catch fish. So it's common sense, it's expertise, it's experience that Simon says, "Lord, we've toiled all night, we've caught nothing." But you see, he went a little farther. He said, "Nevertheless, at thy word." At the word. Throwing out all my experience, my common sense, my expertise, you say. And when they let down the net at his word, they not only filled up their ship, they filled up another ship to where they were almost about to sink. Why? Because Peter did what the word said versus what he thought, what his experience told him, and all that. You see, that's why it's so important for you and I to get into the Word. No matter what we've been taught, no matter what our expertise, no matter how much experience we've had, if it's not in the Word of God, then we have to relook at that and say, "Now, wait a minute. If the Word says this and I think that, then I got to be wrong." It's all right to be wrong. I mean, that bothers some. Everybody say, "I've been wrong before." Thank you. I was beginning to think I was the only one that ever made a mistake. I was the only one that ever been wrong. I was getting a little edgy up here, you know. Thought I might be preaching just to myself. But no, there's times that we're wrong. And if we're wrong, we need to correct ourselves. And if we correct ourselves, let's correct ourselves with the Word of God. Let the Word be true in our lives. No matter what we've been taught, no matter what we think, no matter what experiences we've had. Let's stay with the Word and let that Word infiltrate us to the point to where now when I speak, I'm speaking the Word. When I think, I'm thinking the Word. When I expect, I'm expecting what the Word says instead of what the world says. See, you know, the world tells you that if anything can go wrong, it will. Right? God says, "I'm working all things together for good to them that love and serve me, those that are called according to my will." What's he saying? God says, "I got you. Quit listening to the world. Quit speaking what the world says. Use your faith. Speak the word and watch the word come to pass." See, that's why it's so. What you hear is so important. It matters what you hear. Jesus, at one point, he said, "Take heed what you hear. Take heed what you hear." Why? Because he goes on and says this, and I'm going to paraphrase because I don't remember exactly how it goes, so I don't want to try to quote it. But basically, here's what he said. "Take heed what you hear, because the measure of importance you put on that will be the measure that it comes back into your life." In other words, he's saying if it's a truth and you take heed to that and you put great importance to that, that truth's going to manifest in your life. But if it's a lie and you put great importance into that lie, then that lie is going to manifest back into your life. You'll reap from that. So it's important that we hear the truth and know the truth so that that truth can set us free. Jesus said, "You'll know the truth and the truth shall make you free." So Peter here, at the word of the Lord, he dropped it down. They got a great harvest. Now, I'm going to close with this. The word of God produces faith in your heart. Not the word of man. Not men's doctrines. Not men's sayings. None of that. The word of God produces faith in your heart. Right? Romans 10:17. Right? Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. So we need to hear the Word of God. That Word of God will build faith on the inside of us. Now, here's what we have to remember. Don't just believe anything that's said or coming down the road. make sure you prove it out by Scripture. And if it's a good thing, get a hold of it. If it's not, throw it away. The only thing going to stand when the world's on fire is the truth, right? That's all that's going to matter. Come on, stand to your feet with me.